today on Annenberg Radio News.
And then everybody's, you know, oohing and aahing or saying things. It helps the self-esteem. It helps lift you up and make you feel better about yourself.
Hear how a makeover can make a difference for some South LA women. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 19th, 2011. I'm Sarah Erickson. Doctors at the UCLA Medical Center introduced the first patient on the West Coast to receive a hand transplant. Candace Winters has her story.
For the past 5 years, Emily Fennell has been single-handedly raising her daughter. In 2006, Emily was in a car accident. Her right hand was caught in the open sunroof between the car and the road. Doctors at the UCLA Medical Center determined it was too severely injured to save, and it had to be amputated.
I had my accident when she was only 14 months old, so she's never known me with two hands. So for her to think that this is cool and for her to be supportive of the decision that I've made is very important to me.
Now, 5 years later, Emily is undergoing intensive physical therapy to help her brain mechanically learn how to use a new hand she received from a donor. But medical director of the UCLA hand transplant program, Dr. Sue McDermott, made sure Emily was aware of the risks.
It's a little bit different if you're receiving a heart or a liver transplant. These are life-saving organs. Her hand is a life-changing organ, and she needed to understand that risk-benefit ratio for herself as to whether she would be willing to go forward in life with the use of immunosuppressive drugs.
These immunosuppressive medications are drugs Emily will have to take for the rest of her life so that her body won't reject the new hand. But the immunosuppressive drugs come with side effects.
Infection is the one shadow that always falls over anybody who's on any kind of immunosuppression. We watch for kidney dysfunction. We watch for any evidence of malignancy.
But Emily isn't put off by the rigorous physical therapy or the heavy doses of medication, if it means getting something back she thought she lost forever.
Right now it almost seems surreal that I didn't have a hand for those 5 years. I do feel like it's mine. Slowly but surely, every day it becomes more and more mine.
Since the accident, Emily has learned to type 40 words a minute with just her left hand. Her physicians expect her to gain sensation in her right hand within the year. Candace Winters, Annenberg Radio News.
The LA County Board of Supervisors approved a $165 million contract today for the building of a new community hospital for the Martin Luther King Jr. Medical Center. The Hensel Phelps Construction Company will renovate three of the already existing buildings, but they will also build an entirely new inpatient facility with 120 extra beds. Officials say the new hospital will support more than 2,500 emergency room visits a month. Construction will be completed by September 2013. Students at California State University Fullerton are holding a sit-in on campus to protest actions of CSUF President Milton Gordon. He was asked at a meeting last night to sign a declaration that would secure funding for the university. Students say he refused to sign the declaration they say would protect the university from more cuts and tuition hikes. CSUF students say they will keep their protests going until President Gordon reaches a compromise with the student body. Community groups, local leaders, and volunteers joined forces today to clean up Central Avenue in South LA. The Central Avenue Business Association led the effort with help from community groups. But covering up graffiti and removing weeds from sidewalks isn't just good for attracting more business. Many volunteers say cleaning the streets lifts the spirits of the community.
It's beneficial for young people to get out and to be a part of maintaining and cleaning and sprucing up their own community. So that in and of itself is a great impact.
Overall, it's pretty good. We've been cleaning up, and like, it feels good to clean up a community with all this dirt and all this trash and everywhere.
When we have some graffiti on, it keeps happening. It's a cycle. Everybody wants to represent something. So when we have some graffiti in the area, it definitely affects our corridor. It affects our small businesses.
Well, I'm an avid believer that these kind of programs help the community a lot, especially with these inner city youth that may have parents that work two, maybe even three jobs or work long shifts, and they might be latchkey kids. It gives them programs to be in while the parents are away at work instead of just being at home or being out on the streets with nothing to do.
A lot of them, time is they don't litter no more. They used to litter before, but now working here and know how hard it is to pick up the trash, they stop littering.
This shows that this community is not being left behind. The community does care about it, and the Coalition for Responsible Community Development is very proud to assist with the cleanup.
That's one of the reasons I moved into this area, because when I was looking for places, I noticed how clean and well-kept the neighborhood is, and that's directly due to CRCD that has the youth program and a street cleaning program.
You can find photos from today's cleanup on our website at annenbergradio.org. Downtown Los Angeles is expanding yet again. Officials announced plans today for a 22-story Marriott hotel that will be built next to LA Live. The hotel will have close to 400 rooms for visitors. The massive project will cost $120 million. Construction is set to start next March. The grand opening is scheduled for spring 2014. More chilly weather is in store for us. The low tonight will hit 57 degrees. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high of 66 degrees. And the low will again be 57 degrees. Later on Annenberg Radio News, hear about why a Leimert Park Community Center might have to close its doors. A nonprofit group in South LA shows homeless women they are not invisible by giving them makeovers. Tanner Keith has more.
After losing nearly everything of material value, the last thing a person would think a homeless woman needs is a makeover. But Kara Fox, the co-founder of Glamour Project, knows that homelessness is not only about losing houses and cars.
Sometimes people who are having challenging times are looked at as though they're lesser people or as though they're invisible people. And I think it's critically important to mirror back to someone how lovely they are.
That is exactly what Glamour Project does. The project is a volunteer nonprofit effort to remind homeless women that they're beautiful inside and out.
That, I think, is part of the backbone of Glamour Project, to allow the women to get in touch with the beauty that they have, but they don't remember because no one's really addressed it.
The Glamour Project visits homeless shelters throughout the Los Angeles area. They take makeup and props for a day of pampering and dressing up. Pamela, a veteran of Daybreak Women's Shelter and participant in Glamour Project, remembers the day she got her makeover.
They did the nails, they did put hats on, they did some makeup and dressed me up. They wore like a series of different clothes for different types of personalities. I thought it was fun to see myself as someone else would dress me up.
Not everyone thought it was fun though. Linda couldn't wait to wash her face at the end of the day.
It's like, oh, finally get this stuff off. I don't wear makeup normally, so this is kind of like, whoa, when I go outside and see myself, it's like, whoa, whoa.
But even though she wasn't a fan of all the makeup on the outside, the makeover she got on the inside was worth it.
Well, when you're depressed, when you're living on the streets, you know, when you, that's happened in your life, you're in the gutter, you know, your self-esteem is in the gutter. And just this little thing of, you know, showing up and they...
Leimert Park is historically known as the soul of Black Los Angeles. On a stroll down 43rd Street and Dagan Boulevard, you step into a world of African-American culture, But no matter how unique some of these businesses are, they are still affected by hard economic times. Reporter Liz Warden spent the day at the Lucy Florence Cultural Center, which is struggling to stay afloat. Apologies for the error. We'll have that story later, and we're moving on. Tonight is the second night of Passover, a Jewish holiday that celebrates the Jews escaping enslavement in Egypt. The holiday lasts 8 days and requires Jews to give up all form of leavened bread during that period. I had the privilege of joining cantor Sherry Allen and her family for the first Seder last night.
How long does it take you to plan for Passover?
I start thinking about it about a month ahead.
Everything has to be clean and scrubbed, including, I even do the cabinets where things stay in. And you're not supposed to have anything, you're not supposed to derive any benefit from chametz, from things that have been leavened.
What is a cantor for people that are not familiar with that?
A cantor is a Jewish clergy whose responsibility it is to chant the service or be in charge of all the musical aspects of the service. In Judaism, the service is mostly chanted or sung, and so you have to know. You know, there's a tradition of, you know, exactly what melodies to do when, and it's, you know, goes back hundreds, some say thousands of years.
So tell me about being a female member of the clergy.
We had a rabbi previously, he's not here any longer in our community, that I think did have a problem with it. I mean, he was from a different culture anyway. So that was difficult. I think that female cantors, I think cantors in general, sometimes feel like they are underappreciated because most people think of clergy, they think of a rabbi. But they don't realize, I think, the kind of training that we go to. And I think, and you know, from what I hear a lot, you know, online through, you know, the cantors, you know, website and stuff, a lot of them do not get treated the same way that their rabbis do. And whether it's salary, respect, responsibility, whatever. So that is an issue whether you're female or male. But I think for women, yeah, it probably is still tough. I'm fortunate because I work in a congregation where, you know, they chose me to be their, you know, they don't have a rabbi right now, so I kind of act as both. And to my knowledge, no one seems to have a real problem with that.
So I want to hear a little bit more about what your faith means to you and why it's so important to follow all of these traditions so strictly and keep kosher and share that with your family and the ones that you love.
I didn't grow up observant. I grew up in a Reform household, which is pretty much the most liberal branch of Judaism. And I learned about all this when I got married and we moved to California, and we joined this conservative congregation. And I just felt like a real connection to it. I felt like, because in Judaism, the thing I think that I love best about it is that it's not so much, what you believe. It's what you do. It's the whole thing. The whole foundation is on mitzvot, on doing deeds of loving kindness, on observing. It's all on the purpose being so that you become or you experience that holiness in your everyday life. It's a way of living your life so that you make the everyday sacred.
So I got the chance to hear you sing on Friday at a bar mitzvah, and you sing with such joy and such passion. Describe for me what that feeling is when you're up there singing and performing your duty as a cantor.
It's so funny because I used to be very scared to sing in public. When I was in musicals in high school, I would lose my voice. I would get sick every time. I would freeze up. It was terrifying to me. I swore I'd never sing in public.
That's surprising.
Isn't that funny? And then I started doing this. I started out just singing for kids and teaching, you know, children music, and then gradually... It's a sacred task. It's not just performance element.
May your heart be filled.
I just feel very blessed.
May your mind be filled with love.
To sing something that touches someone in a certain way and makes them, you know, feel closer to God.
May you shine like a star.
That was cantor Sherry Allen. We now have... Liz Warden's story.
When you walk through the doors at Lucy Florence Cultural Center, you are taken aback by the bright colors and elegant decorations. There's a coffee bar to grab a bite to eat. The hallway leads to hidden rooms filled with artistic treasures. There's even a room with a stage, piano, and rows of seats to put on a good show. It's a place for the people of Leimert Park to collaborate and bring together the cultural, political, talent, and economic values of the village.
My name is Nana Jumphy. This place, the Lucy Florence Coffee House and Cultural Center, is one of the things that holds it down, you know, one of the anchors of the village.
As loved as Lucy Florence is, it still hasn't brought in a lot of foot traffic. The center is owned by twin brothers Rich and Bob Harris. Rich Harris says they have to close up as early as May because they are having trouble coming up with the rent money.
We are desperately gathering up monies to pay a financial emergency here at Lucy Florence.
The brothers recently returned back from visiting their home city, Atlanta, where Rich says small businesses in the African-American community flourish and attract people of all backgrounds. They believe Lucy Florence can do the same.
We want that type of feel to create itself in a community that has often, way before we became a part of it, is labeled as the last and only cultural participation in Los Angeles.
As a way of encouraging people to come into the store, they've been offering a 50% off sale. But right now, the center still stands as a place where people like Cheryl Tate came today because she wants to support the family-like atmosphere.
You know, you don't have to come in and buy anything. You can come in and sit down and have a cup of tea, you know, and you can partake of all the art that's in here because there's a lot of culture in this building.
Even though you don't have to buy anything, the Harris brothers are hoping you do. If the Lucy Florence Cultural Center can bring in more business, it will have a chance to survive and serve the community. Liz Warden reporting, Annenberg Radio News.
You probably heard that the LA Times won a Pulitzer Prize yesterday. Barbara Davidson won for her photography of gang shooting victims. Jeff Gottlieb and Ruin Vives won the Public Service Award for their coverage of the Bell scandal. Last month, we talked with the duo.
Clearly, this shows what happens when, if a paper stops keeping an eye on an area or a place, or the check and balances are gone, and what's left is basically corruption, you know.
You can listen to their full interview on AnnenbergRadio.org. Search for the keyword Bell. Today in Lexington, Massachusetts, 236 years ago, a shot was heard around the world that began the American Revolutionary War. Paul Revere had famously warned colonists about an incoming British invasion the night before. A group of 77 militia members called the Boston Patriots formed on the village green to face them. A British officer rode forward ahead of his soldiers and ordered the militia to lay down its weapons. The outnumbered Patriots did not. And although it is unclear who fired it, a musket went off, and the war for America's independence had begun. Now we check in with Caroline Vandegrift to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Caroline?
Thank you very much. Well, an apartment complex on 27th Street was burgled last night. Police say the victim knew the suspect, but he hasn't been caught yet. ATVN has the details on that. Also, USC announced today they will be using the Common Application. We have feedback from admissions counselors and students about what they think. All tonight at Annenberg TV News.
Great. Thanks, Caroline. That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Travis Cochran, Stephanie Guzman, Carl Nickenig, Chris Foy is our producer, Jessica Flores is the executive producer for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News. I'm Sarah Erickson.